Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. I'm sitting here with three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. Today, I'm joined by editor Felicity.
Hello.
And two of the writers, Michael.
Hello.
And Kieran.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about clapping seals, the internet, and the film industry's biggest award ceremony. Plus, we'll be having a debate all about books, which makes me think, given this week's debate topic, what was everyone's favourite childhood book, Felicity?
I was a big fan of Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, and I've also seen the most recent film, and it's very, very good.
I haven't read the book or seen the film. I feel quite bad about it.
Yeah, you should.
Is there a particular character that you love the most?
Oh, it's got to be Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I have heard Joe might be the best one. Michael, what about you?
My favourite was Stormbreaker by Anthony Horowitz, which was the first in the Alex Rider series, which was a series of spy books. And there was a film adaptation of it. It wasn't great, but there's a TV series coming out soon, which I'm very excited about.
Excellent. And Kieran, yourself?
My favourite book was Holes by Louis Sacha, and like Michael, the film was nowhere near as good. So you have to read the book, not watch the film for this one.
I agree. I've read that book. It's one of my favourites as well. Yeah. I loved it. My favourite is, well, pretty much anything by Jacqueline Wilson, to be honest. So I'm going to go for Double Act, I think. With the twins, Ruby and Garnet, they were my favourite. So if you've got a favourite book, let us know. Email us. Go to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and get in touch. Next up, what is the one thing we've learned from this week that everybody loves? What is your favourite fact, Felicity?
My favourite fact is that in the United Arab Emirates, a robot has conducted a human orchestra.
So hang on, people were taking their orders from a robot with a baton kind of?
Yeah, so the orchestra was all human players playing their instruments, but it was all being conducted by a robot.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that fact. Michael, what have you learned this week?
I learned that an artist in France has recreated the painting The Mona Lisa using over 300 Rubik's cubes.
That must be massive, right?
Pretty big, I would have thought, yeah. It's going on sale soon, quite near to where the actual Mona Lisa by Leonardo da Vinci is on display in the Louvre in Paris. So people might be able to compare the two and see which one they prefer.
Because I have seen it and it is quite small, but I imagine 300 Rubik's cubes is quite big and quite bulky. And also, will they have the right colours?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness, I need to see this. And Kieran, how about you?
Another art fact. Van Gogh, who is one of the world's most famous artists, once worked as an assistant teacher at a school in Ramsgate in Kent.
I hope they have a plaque to him.
Well, I hope so too.
Time for real or rubbish. This is when I hear a story and I have to guess whether it is true or false. What is this week's story in the magazine?
So this week's story is about a man in Ohio in the US who was sent 55,000 copies of the same letter. The company sent out 55,000 copies of this letter to him because he owed them money that he borrowed to pay for his daughter's college fees. So he had to go to the post office to collect all of these letters. They filled 79 separate boxes. And the company said that this was their policy to make sure that people don't forget about the money that they owe them, to make sure that they get a response. They sent 55,000 copies of the same letter.
Wow, because at first when you said that, I was like, oh, maybe they were meant for lots of different people and they just, like a printing error meant them, you know, they sent to the same address. But that's quite threatening, isn't it, to get if you owe money. And also, I mean, surely somebody would have picked up on it, like the post service would have been like, this is weird, we've got 55,000 letters. I don't want that to be true because that seems like everybody's failed at some point of that process. I'll have a little think about that. If you've not read your copy of the magazine yet, feel free to make your guess and we can find out together at the end of the show. Okay. Next up, it's time for our three favourite stories of the week. Felicity, what is your favourite story?
My favourite story is the main story on the Animals and Environment page, and it's all about grey seals on the Farne Islands off Northumberland. And for the first time ever, a grey seal has been caught on camera clapping in the wild. It actually happened in 2017, but the footage has only just been released this week, and it's been making waves across the media. So we know that they do this kind of behaviour quite a lot in zoos and aquariums, but people always suspected that it was because humans had taught them how to do this. It wasn't like a natural instinct. But now we know from seeing this film that they do it for themselves in the wild. And the reason they do this is to warn off rival males. So it's a sort of a big display of strength and power. And they also do it to attract females. And it's really, really loud. So the guy who took the footage was just, he said it sounded like a shotgun going off.
Wow.
And for listeners, if you've ever tried to clap underwater, it's actually incredibly hard to do. So it just goes to show how strong these animals are.
Yeah, I thought you meant above water, like on the rocks or something on the island, but
no,
you mean literally
underwater. Yeah, wow. Clapping underwater.
That's amazing.
Very cool.
Because originally also when you said clapping seals, I was like, is there music? Are they with that robot conductor from before? But so it's to attract females and to...
Yeah, they're not clapping along to their favourite song.
Okay. It's good to check these things though. Michael, what is your favourite story from this week?
My favourite story is all to do with the Oscars, which are the film industry's biggest award ceremony, and history was made this year because Parasite, which is a film from South Korea, became the first film not in the English language to win the top prize of best film. This was the 92nd Oscars and the first time that a film that wasn't in English has won the top prize. And actually, it was quite an international ceremony overall. There were performances during it, and there was one performance of the song Into the Unknown from Frozen 2, which some people may have heard of, which was performed by Idina Menzel, and she was joined by 9 other people who have voiced Elsa in different foreign language versions of the film from around the world, and together they sang the song, and each of them sang a line in their own language. So it was actually quite a multilingual international ceremony overall. Other winners on the night included Toy Story 4, which won Best Animated Film. And actually, one of my favourite smaller stories from the night involves a 10-year-old actress called Julia Butters, who revealed that she had brought a turkey sandwich with her to the event in case she didn't like any of the food that was on offer, which I thought was good preparation from her.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I'd like to go to a party with her. I think, you know, taking her own sandwich is a pretty good
chat. Good snacks.
Yeah,
she
would, yeah. I didn't realise that Parasite was the first film in a non-English language to win.
Yeah, because actually there is a separate category at the Oscars for films that aren't in English, which used to be called Best Foreign Language Film, now called Best International Feature Film, which Parasite also won. But there had been films in the past that had been nominated for Best Film, which weren't in English, but this is the first time that one had actually won it. So it was a big moment for the Oscars and a big moment for South Korea as well. There was lots of celebrating there that a film that was made there and in their language had won at this ceremony, which normally is won by English language films.
I saw a little clip of the director looking at his Oscar, just looking so happy. Just, it was really lovely to look at it, and just, he was clearly thrilled.
So yeah.
It was great. Right, so Kieran, what have you been finding out about this week?
I've been finding out about Safer Internet Day, which was on the 11th of February, and it's an annual event all about the importance of being safe online, particularly for young people. And ahead of this year's event, the organisers, which is the Safer Internet Centre, which is actually made up of 3 separate organisations, carried out research into the online habits of young people across the UK, and I thought it was really interesting what they found. So they talked to people aged between 8 years old and 17 years old, and they found that for a lot of young people, what you do and see online forms part of your character and your identity. So for example, just under half, 49%, said that the interests that they develop online then transport into their everyday lives and that those passions continue. An even higher number, 54%, said they would feel lost or confused if they lost access to their online accounts. And 38% said it was easier to be themselves on the internet, which is nice. A third said that being online had helped them to take action on a cause that mattered to them, so signing a petition or raising awareness of something. That's within the last month that a third of them had done it. But there were also some negatives that came up. So 70% of young people said that the internet makes it easier for people to be mean, and 62% are careful about what they post because of that, and they don't want to get bullied or anything like that. So the Safe Internet Centre released some good advice about how to stay safe online, such as always making sure that your personal information is kept private, blocking and reporting anyone who behaves in a mean way, and then talking to a grown-up about it, and also always remembering to respect others as we do offline.
Yeah, and also I guess remembering it's okay just to take some time out, and just you don't have to be online the whole time. You can just take a step back, and you don't have to live everything online, I think.
Yeah, completely. And it's great that you can pursue these interests online, but don't neglect the things in the real life as well.
Yeah, it's good that it can help you pursue causes and learn more about what you love, but also it can be quite a stressful place, I think. Mm. Yeah, really interesting little questionnaire though.
Mm. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah. Right, so it's time for our big debate. This is your chance to get involved on the podcast. And last week, we debated whether cameras should be used in courtrooms. And here's what some of you had to say.
So here are a few comments from PopJam. Someone said, I think no, because there should be some respect of privacy in a courtroom and they might get distracted by the camera in the room. Also, courtroom artists will not have an interesting job anymore. Another user added, I think they should be because then other people who are not in the courtrooms will know what is going on.
In a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Isla wrote, I think that there should be cameras in courtrooms because we should be able to see the courtrooms so we know what's going on in our country. Darcy added, I think that cameras shouldn't be allowed in courtrooms because it's invading the people in the courtroom's personal space and they might be camera shy.
And Emily dropped us an email saying, I think that cameras should not be allowed in the courtrooms as it is unfair on the people that are there. They might not want their faces on the television.
Wow, so lots of opinions on this. This was a really big topic. Now, as you heard, this is your chance to get involved. And if you want to hear your voice on the podcast, it is very easy. Go record what you think of this week's debate and send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And we might just be playing it out on next week's show. So this week, the debate to get involved in is whether books should always be kept in a good condition. I have quite a lot of thoughts about this. So who can tell me more?
So on the 21st of January, an author called Alex Christofi posted an image on Twitter that sparked quite the debate. He had 3 huge books that he had cut in half lengthways so that he could carry them around easier, so that he could read them on the go. After posting the image, he was described as a book murderer by some people because of how he treated his books. And other people came to his defense, saying that people care too much about how books look instead of just reading them, which is what they're for. In an article afterwards, Christofi wrote that authors don't generally dream of seeing their books in mint condition. The biggest compliment you can pay an author is to read their book. So this had us thinking, should the condition of books be protected, or is it really just about reading them and everything else doesn't really matter?
Okay, so Felicity and Michael, you are going to debate this one. Who is going first?
I am.
So Michael, you're arguing for why they should be kept in a good condition. When you're ready, go for it.
So for me, this all comes down to respect. So you can still read and enjoy a book, but keep it in a good condition. And in doing so, it means that other people who might borrow the book from you or who you donate the book to will be able to enjoy it as well. Because if you're given a book and it's all crumpled and messed up, it might affect your enjoyment of reading it. And I think books are works of art in their own right that people work hard to put together. It's not just the author who's written the original story. It's the whole publishing process, the artwork that might be on the cover. And, you know, you look at libraries, for example, if they lend you books, they expect to get them back in a good condition. And it's just sort of basic common courtesy and respect. If you've been given the book as a present or if a lot of money has been spent on it, then you want to keep it in a good condition so that other people can enjoy it as well. Because books are for everyone and people like to lend books to their friends, to family members. And if you're doing that, then I think the least you can do is keep them in a good condition to respect the author and all the people who have worked hard to put the book together. Thank you.
Excellent. You even had time for a thank you at the end. Wow.
So good at this.
That was, that was well under a minute. That was like 54, 55 seconds and was even polite as well. So, Felicity, no pressure, but can you keep it under a minute? And will you be as nice and say thank you afterwards at the end?
We'll see.
So when you're ready, go for it.
I completely disagree with Michael, and these are my reasons. I think a book is a very personal object to you, so it's different from, you know, jewelry or clothes or other things like that. I think it's something that you can make it your own. I think it's lovely to have an inscription or a personalized message that someone has written in it for you. I also love the idea of people writing notes down the side, or, you know, doing little doodles. It's all about how you respond to the book and how much enjoyment you get out of it. I also think with books, you take them on holiday, you might read it in the bath, you might take it to the swimming pool, you might drop it down the stairs. This is all signs of like how much you love it and how much you have enjoyed it. And I kind of like finding a little dog-eared page or a bit where it's got damp or something like that. I think that's a really nice thing. The other thing is you can always just get a new copy. If it gets really, really badly damaged, just buy a new one. It's not like there's only one ever. And finally, I think authors just want you to read their books. And that's it. Just get reading. That's the most important thing.
Excellent. That was, again, very under time. Kieran, what do you reckon? What's your point of view on this?
I can see both sides, Bex, I'll be honest. But if I'm being honest, I definitely don't keep my books in a good condition. So I have to back Felicity and say that I think it's fine to, you know, bend the spine back so that you can properly dive into a book, and to fold over pages so that you keep track of where you are. Bookmarks, don't have time for those. I'm with Felicity.
So you think I've won the debate, is what you're saying?
I think that your argument on this occasion was stronger.
I've got to say, I'm really conflicted on this because I hate cracking spines on books. I refuse to do it. And I also refuse to fold over the pages of a book. I like to keep books in good condition, but I'm also aware you can't. And it annoys me that you can't. And this guy who cut the thing in half, I kind of understand it though, because I've got a massive book and I just don't read it because it's too big to carry around. So I'm really torn on this, but I think on the whole I would keep it pristine and keep it nice. And so I lent my book to somebody recently and she dropped it in the bath and it was really sad. You can imagine how unhappy I was about that. So if you've got an opinion on this, maybe as many as I have, let us know what you think. Respond to the poll at theweekjunior.co.uk/poll or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. Now it's time for the reveal of our real or rubbish story. Michael, can you recap it for me?
So the story was that a company had sent 55,000 copies of the same letter to a man in the US because they owed he owed them money and they didn't want him to ignore that or forget about it. So they sent him 55,000 copies so that he wouldn't be able to ignore it.
55,000 just seems, it seems too many. It seems, I get send an email, send, I don't know, a Facebook message, like send some letters, sure, but 55, that's a lot of paper as well to waste. I'm gonna say rubbish. That's my final answer. I'm gonna say rubbish. Yeah,
drum roll please. It's rubbish.
Oh yes.
But it's also kind of real. Oh, so man. he really did get 55,000 copies of the same letter, but it wasn't because the company had done it intentionally. It was a mistake.
Oh.
So he did have to go and collect all these letters from the post office and take them home. He said that he might use them to start a bonfire because as well as mistakenly sending him that many copies of the letter, it also contained a mistake about how much money he owed them. So as you said earlier, there was a lot of mistakes made all around.
Yeah. I just can't believe they let 55,000 letters go out. I feel like I kind of won that by default, but I'll take it anyway. I'll take any win. That is it for the Week Junior show this week. Goodbye to Felicity.
Goodbye.
To Michael.
Goodbye.
And Kieran.
Goodbye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at the Week Junior or email us hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back. And bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.